on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Donegal GRA spokesperson says new figures on the Garda drugs unit are not a true reflection of the situation on the ground. A large sum of money has been recovered following a weekend raid on a family home in Mallantown. And an elderly woman has been left traumatised after her home was broken into and ransacked in Lifford. Sinn Féin's Justice spokesperson Martin Kenny says the setting light of his car over the weekend was traumatic. And finally, with Halloween fast approaching, Donegal County Council is reminding the public that bonfires can cause serious damage and injuries to both the environment and people's health. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Donegal GRA spokesperson says new figures in the Garda drugs unit are not a true reflection of the situation on the ground. The data indicates that the unit has been cut by half over the last 8 years, with six Gardaí in Donegal currently assigned to tackling drugs. But Brendan O'Connor says this number can change, with many Gardaí working in the unit on a part-time basis. However, he does say that even with the fluctuation, the number of Garda personnel assigned to the job is nowhere near enough to tackle what is becoming an increasing problem.
Certainly at the moment there have been, the drugs units in the county have been supplemented by members who are in there on temporary transfer who may not be reflected in official figures. But certainly, I mean, I would echo the sentiments of the article, and the members I represent would certainly feel that the drugs problem isn't and hasn't traditionally been given the attention it has required. And if we're to go on the commentary from many maybe health professionals and addiction counsellors, and indeed anecdotal evidence from our members on the front line, there does seem to be a serious problem with drugs in communities, and on Garda Síochána does seem to be behind the curve and slow to react to this problem, and it hasn't been given the attention and the focus that it really should.
What about the imminent plans of amalgamating the Donegal Garda Division with Sligo Leitrim? Do you feel that that would maybe have a positive impact on these figures going forward, or a negative one?
Well, to be honest, I mean, we're very sceptical, and our members are quite sceptical about what the motivation behind this plan, because what we would have then is whenever a Freedom of Information request would go in about the figures for the local divisional unit, we would be told that our divisional drug unit had X number of Gardaí, which might actually sound more complimentary or more like a higher number, but the reality is that could be a couple of guards down in Carrick and Shannon or in Ballymote and Sligo. So certainly what the public have been told is that it will bring expertise, but I mean, I was speaking to my colleague in Sligo this morning, and the numbers on the drug unit in Sligo are absolutely minimal. You know, another article in the paper today would show that they got even less of a share of new recruits. So the divisional model, I don't see it changing things on the ground.
Police in England have named two brothers from County Armagh they want to speak to in relation to the investigation into the deaths of 39 people in the back of a lorry. Officers in Essex believe 40-year-old Ronan Hughes and his brother 34-year-old Christopher are in Northern Ireland, however they have links to the Republic. They are wanted on suspicion of manslaughter and human trafficking. Gardaí say they continue to assist Essex Police with their inquiries. A large sum of money has been recovered following a weekend raid on a family home in Mallantown. Some of the cash, which was found during a follow-up search, is believed to have been collected from the local GAA club. Two family members, aged 24 and 27, were tied up by a gang of masked men armed with what was believed to have been crowbars during the ordeal. Their father, John Byrne, told today's 9 to noon show that it wasn't just an attack on the home, but on the entire community.
This wasn't at a local businessman. I've been here for over 40 years. But I'm part of the community. Anything that moves in the community, I'm sort of part of it. I'm the director of the local GA club. And not alone was the business money robbed, but also money belonged to our local GA club. And as you know, the Mallon GA club is at the heart of the community. The people work around the community, and we have a lot of volunteers in the club that looks after people's children from under 6 up to 18 years of age. And when you start tugging down at the heart of the community, people are really angry, really, really angry. And I would appeal to the public at large out there that, I'm sorry, I feel a bit emotional, but I would appeal to the people out there if they've seen anything at all, because these four guys had to go back to either their own home somebody else's home. And these guys, their getaway seemed to be through the fields, which was sort of, maybe it wasn't the way things were planned, but somebody might have upset them, but they made their getaway through fields. And these four guys, who, as I say, whose home they went into, they had to be covered in muck, scratches on their hands and their faces, and their clothes torn. You know, these were four big guys, but they had to be. Somebody knows something out there.
Meanwhile, an elderly woman has been left traumatised after her home was broken into and ransacked in Lifford. The incident happened in Crohan Heights on Friday night, Saturday morning last, between 4 p.m. and 9 a.m. The woman was not at home at the time, but her son Eamon says she has been left shaken by the break-in.
It was basically, you can imagine the shock that we had on Saturday morning. The sister phoned me straight away. I'd landed out and couldn't believe what I walked into. You know, my mother was completely distressed. We had to take her down to her sister's house just throughout the day. We contacted the Gardaí. The Gardaí were very, very quick in arriving. And forensics done their job. They were absolutely fantastic. I can't say a bad word about the Gardaí, how quick they were here, you know, after getting the call. But as I say, my mother was very, very, very shook up. Being, you know, a pensioner, my father, God rest him, passed away 4 years ago. She always wanted her own independence. She never wanted anybody staying along with her as well. It was her house. Everybody else had, as she always said, yes, everybody else has your own houses. And as I say, you know, the reason why I wanted to talk about this morning is just to let the rest of the old folk know and let the neighbours know, just to keep an eye on their neighbours, especially if they're pensioners.
And anyone with information relating to the incident is urged to contact Letterkenny Garda Station. Sinn Féin TD Martin Kenny says his family was left very distressed and worried after his car was set on fire over the bank holiday weekend. The party's justice spokesperson says he awoke early yesterday morning to find the vehicle in a ball of flames outside his home in Ballinamore in County Leitrim. The incident took place after Deputy Kenny made a dull speech defending asylum seekers on Thursday, while he's also received death threats since supporting a direct provision centre in Ballinamore. Speaking to Ocean FM, Martin Kenny claims some of those opposed to the centre need to be more responsible.
There's only one person, or maybe whatever small number of people, responsible for what happened here the other night. That's the person who done it. They're the only ones responsible for that. And the Gardaí are doing an investigation into that, and hopefully they go to the bottom of it and find out who they are. However, you know, the situation in Ballinamore has turned into a very tense and difficult situation. I think some people, you know, who are there and who have been leading the charge on this could have been a lot more responsible.
Britain's Christmas election could be cancelled amid more uncertainty in the House of Commons. Downing Street has threatened to pull the vote if certain amendments are made to it. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe explains what's happening.
Westminster's gone through more will-they-won't-they moments in the last 24 hours than Ross and Rachel managed in all 10 seasons of Friends. A Christmas election was voted down last night. Then Jeremy Corbyn turned around this morning and said that Labour will back it after all. So game on, right? Not quite so simple. The British government lost a vote this afternoon, so now opposition MPs can make changes to the bill that would call an election. One of those is extending the right to vote to 16-year-olds and to EU nationals. Now, in practice, that would mean needing to add more than 3 million people to the register in the UK over the next 2 or 3 weeks in time to vote. And Downing Street rightly thinks that many of those younger people will be anti-Brexit, which changes the maths of any election campaign quite a lot. So the British government has threatened to pull any vote on an election if that amendment gets passed, which could mean we're back to square one all over again. The votes start around 7 o'clock this evening.
Extensive damage has been caused to a business premises at Demens Rafaux. The break-in happened in the early hours of yesterday morning. Catherine Gaffney has more.
At around 4:10, Gardaí responded to the alarm activation at the premises with the key holder and discovered that the outer fence had been cut. A glass panel was removed and an outer and inner door to gain further entry. A door was smashed inside and an office door was forced open. Attempts were made to force open the safe on the premises, but to no avail. There was damage caused to the exterior of numerous windows on the property. The intruders are believed to have left empty-handed. If anyone can assist in any way with this investigation, if they witnessed anything in the area that seemed unusual on that date, then please call Gardaí on 074 9167 100 or the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111.
Meanwhile, Gardaí and Bonkrana are seeking information following a dangerous driving report. The incident occurred on Friday the 18th of October on the R238 just outside the Ballyliffin Hotel at 8:25pm. Pedestrians are said to have been crossing the road when a dark-coloured saloon car came towards them at a high speed and was forced to swerve to avoid them. Garda Clare Rafferty is appealing to anyone who may have any information to come forward.
So Friday the 18th, which is 11 days ago, Gardaí and Bunkran are appealing for information in relation to a dangerous driving incident that occurred on that date at approximately 8:25pm. The incident occurred on the R238 just outside the Ballyliffin Hotel. So a couple of pedestrians were crossing the road when a car, which is described as a dark-coloured saloon-style car, possibly with a yellow rear number plate, came towards them at high speed, and it had to veer onto the wrong side of the road to avoid hitting them. Now it appears that this car was travelling at a very high speed. Thankfully, the pedestrians were unhurt, but they're very shaken. It's believed that they were mere inches away from being struck by the car. So if anyone witnessed the incident or can provide any information, or again, dash cam footage could come into play here, if they could contact us at Bunkrana Garda Station, 074-932-0540.
As you say, dash cam footage could come into its own, and this is a sort of appeal that dash cam footage really could be made for.
Absolutely. Someone else passing in the area may have picked it up.
Hannah Creashill's mother has told the Central Criminal Court that she could never have anticipated the evil that lay waiting for her daughter. She was addressing the sentence hearing of the two boys who murdered her in a derelict farmhouse in Dublin last year. Our court's correspondent Frank Greeley has this report, which some listeners may find distressing.
Geraldine and Patrick Creashill adopted two-year-old Anastasia, whom they called Anna for short, from Russia in 2006. In her victim impact statement today, Geraldine described her as the most wonderful child in the world. She said she was wild and wonderful, electric and so full of fun, someone who brought love and happiness into their lives and all around her. In their home in Leixlip, she said they believed they'd brought her to live in a safe place and never could have anticipated the evil that lay waiting for her. In June, boy A was convicted of murder and aggravated sexual assault. The court heard today he accepts he caused Anna's death but maintains he didn't sexually assault her. His grandfather sympathised with the Creashills and told the court his 14-year-old grandson was incredibly sorry and wished it never happened. Boy B, who brought Anna to the derelict farmhouse where she was killed, maintains he played no part in her murder and does not accept the verdict. Both will be sentenced next Tuesday. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where there's some spooky Halloween deals, including 40% off all Puma from this weekend until Sunday the 3rd of November, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Mick McCarthy's excited about the Republic of Ireland's young prospects. That's ahead of their upcoming Crunch Euro 2020 qualifier against Denmark. His side take on the Danes at the Aviva Stadium on the 18th of November, knowing a win will send them to next summer's finals. The Irish boss today named 12 forwards in his extended 39-man squad for the clash and their friendly with New Zealand. McCarthy was asked if teenagers Aaron Connolly and Troy Parrott may feature in these games.
It'll be fine, they haven't played that much together themselves anyway at this level or at any level already, certainly not with the 21s I've watched. Adam was out on the left and Troy was playing as a 10, but it would be nice if they come through. I mean, there's a period in my first tenure in the job when I got, you know, Robbie and Duffer and Ian Hart and Big Dunner, Clatterer players came through and did really well together.
Meanwhile, Cork goalkeeper Kevin Kelleher, who's set the start for Liverpool and Anfield against Arsenal in the Carabao Cup tomorrow night, he's got his first call-up, as is QPR defender Ryan Manning. Shane Long, Robbie Brady, David McGoldrick, Kieran Clark and James McCarthy, they all return, while keeper Darren Randolph's expected to shake off a thigh injury in time to feature. And Bulgaria, they have been punished by UEFA for racist behaviour during the recent Euro 2020 qualifier against England. And they'll have to play two games behind closed doors, although one of those is suspended for 2 years. Bulgaria have also been fined over £64,500 for racist chanting, while £8,500 for disturbances. They've also received a fine during the national anthem. And England, they've been fined £4,300 for anthem disruption. On the pitch tonight, the holders Manchester City welcome troubled Southampton to the Etihad for an English League Cup last 16 round tie. The Saints were thumped 9-0 by Leicester City on Friday evening. Leicester, they go to Burton Albion tonight, and Everton, they're hosting Watford. Sunderland are away to Oxford, and Crawley, they're at home to Colchester. And the other games, all of those games kick off at 7:45. 7:45 is also the kick-off time for the Irish League Cup quarter-finals. Ballymena, they play Crusaders. Linfield, they host Cliftonville. Institute, they make the journey to play Newry City. And Dundella, they're at home to Coleraine. In other news, Arsenal boss Unai Emery says Granit Xhaka knows he was wrong on Sunday. The midfielder swore and gestured to fans who booed him off the pitch as he was substituted in the 2-2 Premier League draw with Crystal Palace. Emery revealed Xhaka won't be involved in the League Cup against Liverpool tomorrow, but wouldn't say if he'd be stripped of the captaincy. In Gaelic games, the fight for the honour of being crowned champions of Donegal has gone to a historic third game. Gwydor and Niamh Connell will meet in the second replay of the Donegal Senior Football Championship final tomorrow evening back at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. You can join the Highland team of Oisin Kelly, Martin McHugh, Brenton Kilcoyne and Tom Comack for full live match commentary from 7:45. In rugby, South Africa have been handed a big fitness boost ahead of the Rugby World Cup final against England. Springboks head coach Rassie Erasmus says he expects star winger Cheslin Kolbe to be fit for Saturday's game. The 26-year-old missed their semi-final victory over Wales with an ankle injury. Meanwhile, it's been confirmed that Jerome Garcés will referee the World Cup final. He's becoming the first Frenchman ever to take charge of the decider. Elsewhere in rugby, Munster defence coach JP Ferreira has extended his stay at the province until the end of the 2022 season. The South African has helped Johan van Grand's side hold the best defensive record in the Pro 14 for the last 2 years. The Reds' new forwards coach Graham Rowntree has also begun work in Limerick this week. Munster say they have no fresh injury concerns from last weekend's bonus point win over the Ospreys, while Chris Colote has recovered from an ankle issue and returned to full training. In golf, Mount Juliet is set to host Golf's Dubai Duty Free Irish Open for the first time in 25 years. It's been confirmed that the Jack Nicklaus designed Kilkenny course will be the venue for the tournament in 2020. The Rolex Series event will take place between the 28th and the 31st of May. Former winners Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, they will be in the field. In athletics, the organisers of the Dublin Marathon have announced that they'll introduce a lottery system for entries for the race in 2020. Previously, the places had been allocated on a first-come, first-served basis. Race director Jim Ohaney says they've made the change due to increased demand, and he feels a lottery is the fairest system. In snooker, Antrim's Mark Allen, he's booked his place in the second round of snooker's World Open. Allen raced into a 4-0 lead against Ken Doherty before withstanding a comeback from the former world champion to progress 5-3. And Dubliner Fergal O'Brien, he's also had victory today. He defeated Ronnie O'Sullivan's conqueror Dominic Dale, also by 5-3. Finally, for this evening in boxing, boxer Nigel Benn has been forced to call off his controversial comeback fight after picking up a shoulder injury in training. The 55-year-old had been due to face Sacco Biquet in a one-off contest in Birmingham next month. The former middleweight and super middleweight world champion last fought 23 years ago when he lost a rematch with Steve Collins. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in news, with Halloween fast approaching, Donegal County Council is reminding the public that bonfires can cause serious damage and injuries to both the environment and people's health. The local authority is also warning that bonfires have the potential to cause serious damage to nearby buildings, particularly where the burning of highly combustible materials is taking place. Local communities are too being asked not to provide materials for bonfires. Suzanne Bogan, Waste Awareness Officer with the Council, says a joint effort by everyone would help discourage the practice further.
Well, I suppose traditionally in the past, you know, we would have had materials like wood and straw burned on bonfires for Halloween, but I suppose over the more recent years we've seen a move towards waste materials, in particular bulky type waste such as tires, mattresses, furniture, stuff like that. And obviously that is unacceptable, you know, because it's a waste material. When it's burned, then it releases releases dioxins into the air, which are harmful to the environment, but also harmful to our health. So we're just appealing to everybody once again to ensure that they do enjoy Halloween and just have fun in lots of other different types of ways, but to try and not maybe have a bonfire in their community, or if they are a community representation group, that they wouldn't supply materials, or if they're a business or a householder, that they don't supply materials for anybody collecting for bonfires, in particular waste type materials, just so that the environment's safe and also that the air that we breathe is nice and clean.
With an eye cold tonight, dry with clear spells developing and ground frost also, with lowest temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees with frost in many parts. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a Donegal GRA spokesperson says new figures in the Garda Drugs Unit are not a true reflection of the situation on the ground. The data indicates that the unit has been cut by half over the last 8 years, with six Garda in Donegal currently assigned to tackling drugs. An elderly woman has been left traumatised after her home was broken into and ransacked in Lifford. The incident happened in the Crohan Heights area on Friday night, Saturday morning last, between 4pm and 9am. Sinn Féin TD Martin Kenny says his family was left very distressed and worried after his car was set on fire over the bank holiday weekend. The party's justice spokesperson says he awoke early yesterday morning to find the vehicle in a ball of flames outside his home in Ballinamore in County Leitrim. And Gardaí and Buncrana are seeking information following a dangerous driving report. The incident occurred on Friday the 18th of October on the R238 just outside the Ballyliffin Hotel at 8:25pm. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Tuesday evening, October the 29th. The death has taken place of Bridget Sweeney, née Gallagher, Letcher Illy, Glenties, County Donegal, reposing at the Chapel of Rest, St Mary's Hospital, Phoenix Park, Dublin 8, tomorrow from 10:30am until 1pm, with removal thereafter to her residence in Letcher Illy, Glenties, County Donegal. House private until 10am on Thursday morning and from 9am until 10am on the morning of the funeral. Funeral leaving her home for Requiem Mass to St Connell's Church, Glenties, at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The death has occurred of Jeanette Regan, Woodlands Letterkenny, née Carty, formerly of Lava Ballymote, Sligo. Remains will repose at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Cremation to follow on Thursday at 12 noon in Necklands Crematorium, Cavan. Family flowers only, please. Donations of wish to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital or Cancer Care West, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. House private, please. The death has occurred of Paddy McDermott, 60, Glenwood Park, Glencar, Letterkenny. Remains will repose at Letterkenny Funeral Home this evening from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Remains will arrive at St. Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, tomorrow evening at 6:45 to repose overnight. Funeral Mass at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, with interment afterwards to the family plot at Cornwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Comacdade Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Walter Patton, Balnacore, Lower Killigordon. Walter's remains will be reposing at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening until removal from there on Thursday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Mass of the Resurrection in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, followed by interment in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Flowers welcome, donations in lieu of so desired to Barnsview Ward, St Joseph's Hospital, care of Martin McGowan, McGowan's Funeral Home or any family member. The death has occurred of Cathy McLaughlin, formerly of Clody, County Derry and Brook Park, Castle Derg. Cathy's remains are reposing at the home of her niece Vera Duffy, 15 Fifin Road, Victoria Bridge. Removal from there on Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock to St Patrick's Church, Clody, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has occurred of Thomas Gallagher, 6 Ash Meadows, Drumbo, Stranorler and formerly Old Town Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his home this evening from 6 o'clock. Fiona leaving his home on Thursday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Andrew Elliott, Ballydevitt, Donegal Town, County Donegal and formerly of Letchermack Award, County Donegal. Remains reposing in his late residence this evening from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock and tomorrow from 12 p.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral service in Donegal Parish Church on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the Glebe Cemetery, Donegal Town. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of so desired to the Donegal Hospice and Solus Cancer Support Centre, Donegal Town, care of George Irwin, funeral directors or any family member. How strictly private on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Hugh Doran, Mean Corwick, Crawley and formerly Crovey. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in Meanawell Church at 12 noon on Thursday, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of James O'Donnell, Belcrutchet, Kincashla. His remains are reposing at McGlynn's Funeral Home with Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. James's remains will repose at his home in Belcrutch from 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, with removal on Thursday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Kincashla, with interment afterwards in Belcrutch Cemetery. The death has taken place in London of Glenys Wasson, wife of the late Andrew Wasson, formerly of Remelton. Her remains are reposing overnight at Remelton Presbyterian Church. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Banks Cemetery. And the death has taken place of Catherine Kathleen Hegarty, née Caldwell, 68 Woodend Road, Strabane, and formerly of Glenoch Newton Stewart. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Church at Glenoch Newton Stewart at 1 o'clock, interment afterwards in the Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m.